I want to take a minute and talk about ShopBoss. It's the ultimate solution for automotive shop management. It's built by industry experts with real-world experience. In fact, the founder was a former shop owner himself. Now, ShopBoss is designed to be user-friendly, making it easy to set up, learn, and teach your team. With Boss Pay, powered by 360 Payments, enjoy integrated payments with digital signature capture, text-to-text pay, PayPal, and Venmo options, consumer financing, and now surcharging, all seamlessly integrated into ShopBoss. Say goodbye to the hassle of managing separate sets of books. Everything you need is built right in. But that's not all. ShopBoss also offers built-in DVI functionality, eliminating the need for third-party solutions. Plus, with profit per hour, maximize your profit on every job sold, ensuring that advisors, techs, and owners are all working together to make each job profitable. Experience the power of ShopBoss today and see why thousands of shop owners trust them to simplify their operations, drive success, and run their business like a boss. My name is Jimmy Purdy, shop owner, master tech, transmission builder, and the host of the Gearbox Podcast. Here I talk with new and seasoned shop owners, as well as industry professionals, about day-to-day operations within their own shops and all the failures and successes that come along the way. From what grinds your gears to having to shift gears in the automotive industry, this is the Gearbox Podcast. So this is not new to you, but I guess it's a kind of a new venture anyway, right?
Oh, it's 100% new venture, yeah, because, you know, I've been in the industry for 15 years with my partner down the street and had to break up that and doing this completely solo on everything. So it's a very new adventure.
Now we got to back up a little bit. Partnership breakups are always juicy conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, they can be.
Is there a story behind that, or what led you to venture out on your own? Are you just trying to, what's the story?
To venture out on my own, it was too much stress between me and my partner as far as being on the same page of business aspects. I have a whole future ahead of me of where I want to go, what I want to do as I'm raising my family of four kids. But between me and him, our visions are not the same, and it's just hard to do things in life when you're not on the same page over the last 15 years, you know. Anytime we make plans or want to succeed in life, I fulfill everything that I need to do. But my partner, he lacks in that and doesn't really do what needs to be done, per se. That's just one aspect, and employees.
That's a pretty big aspect.
Oh yeah, it is. You know, we're at two different stages of life where, you know, I'm only 38 years old with four kids, and he just turned 60, and he already raised his kids and that sort of thing. So, he doesn't work as hard as I do on a day-to-day basis. But yet we take home the same amount of money, we get paid the same, and I do 80% of the labor of working, you know. It's just,
oh, I see. So you're still the technician role in the business.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, he sits down and smokes all day long on the back picnic table, you know, and I got a lot of work that needs to be done. It's just hard to stay motivated each day when you see that happening on a day-to-day basis. Yeah.
And then how long has this been? How long before you dissolved it or decided I'm not doing this anymore?
Well, we've been together for 15 years. Wow. You know, started out with absolutely no clientele, nothing, very little tools, and made a name for ourselves, for the shop anyways, and for me, for a good 15 years. And it was very hard every single day and stressful all day long, but had to weigh out the pros and cons of should I stay or should I leave and that sort of thing. You know, I've wanted to leave for about 10 or 12 years now, and everything lined up perfectly right now to where now's the time I gotta part ways.
Yeah. I mean, I feel it's just like the breaking point. I feel like a lot of people can probably relate to this, because it's like they're working for somebody that feels the same, but you actually partnered with them. Mm-hmm. And in a way kind of felt like you're just a disgruntled employee.
Oh, yeah.
Of your own business. And I feel like that would probably make it worse, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Because you also are taking on all the fiscal responsibilities, and you're not getting Right. I guess the respect you deserve, is a way to put it.
100%. Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. We had a pretty big employee lawsuit recently that ended, that seriously broke the camel's back. And it was a year and a half long lawsuit, and I knew it was coming. And when we do lose that issue, it was definitely time to break apart and just move full throttle on my own, do everything I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't keep putting that kind of stuff on your shoulders if someone else isn't willing to step up on their end. But on that point too, I mean, there obviously had to have been multiple conversations as far as like trying to get on the same page, right? And it didn't obviously work out. Like, you weren't able to come to that. But
right,
that's a situation I think a lot of us fear of going into a partnership, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the reason why I think a lot, for me anyway, like wanting to bring in a partner or do something like that, that is like what you're describing is like the ultimate fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good, I mean, you've got some life experience that some of us probably never will by unfortunate events, but
right.
I mean, how do those conversations go? Like, how do you try to manage that? Or how do you, I mean, you did it for long enough where it's something, you had to have been doing something right to move right. the needle in your direction to get you to stay.
Right. The only thing that was really truly getting me to stay was not so much my partner itself, but the love for what I do with the cars, love diagnosing the cars, the community, and all of our clients. Those were, and supporting my family. Those were your like four or five key factors that was keeping me there. Seeing my vision, where I want to go with my family, trying to buy a home, trying to move out of a neighborhood, things like that all of last year. Those were my driving factors as to why I continue to stay with my partner. And plus, I really didn't have any desire to go and just look for a job and go work for somebody else and that sort of thing. Just wasn't my forte, wasn't my taste. But every time we do have those heart-to-heart conversations, it was always nerve-wracking, heart beating extremely fast because you're having those confrontations and those very hard things to deal with, you know? And I never liked having those conversations, but I knew they had to be made in order for me to move forward with where I want to go, you know?
Yeah. I mean, some good experience, I think, too, because I don't think that ever goes away. It's just such a weird feeling to, like, have to, like, talk to, I don't know, you say like a, like an adult, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether they're 20 years older than you, they're the same age, or even if they're younger than you.
Yeah.
It's like you have these different things and different ways you're trying to see it from their point of view. And it's like, how difficult is it to like have to talk to someone that's your senior that doesn't understand, doesn't want to jump on the page with you? But there's got to be a little empathy on your side too, right? Where like you realize where he is in his stage of life. So you got to, I mean, how do you pull him back out of that? Like, you're trying to get him to, well, I get it. You're in a different stage of life, but we need to get on the same page. And I think a lot of partnerships when it comes to business is, well, we just manage the business. We're not working in it day to day. But if you don't find the employees, is like, how do you manage that? Like, someone's got to be the employee. Someone needs to be compensated correctly for that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that was the other thing, you know, the employees, you know, you speak of employees where we all need to have technicians, employees working with you. And over the last 15 years working together, we've had over 80 to 85 different technicians and employees that work for us, but it's hard for them to work for us because you got two managing partners and it's like the employees play the mom and dad game. Me, I'm a driver. I like to work, get things done, check with employees, see if they need help, things like that. But when I'm out there working, then my partner doesn't work as much. And he smokes. Most of our employees, they smoke, so they could just go outside and smoke all the time with him. And that irritates me and frustrates me when we got Mrs. Jones's car up on the lift and she's up front waiting for her oil change. And come on, we got to get this done, you know? So
yeah, the path of least resistance, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, and it's no fault of like, of necessarily the technicians. I mean, you're going to have a few of them that'll be like you, maybe, you know, they call them the unicorns, right? That come along that want to move the needle. But for the most part, most people get a job because they're moving to the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's easy to do.
And it's like, if you see that, like, oh, I'll just go do that. If I get paid the same to smoke outside as I do to wreck this car up, like, what are my, right?
That's
I mean, I don't have that mindset either. Like, I don't, I'd rather be in there working or go home. Like, if you know, if I'm right. not here, like, making money or like doing something, like, I'll just go home and like, I don't need to be here.
Right.
Like, just
right.
to collect a check. Right.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot, that's kind of like their mindset, and it's hard. And it's no fault. I mean, it takes a good leader. It takes leadership to say, look, man, if we get this stuff done, you get paid more. And then it's like, you can go enjoy your weekend because you're going to have money to go enjoy your weekend. And it's like, you're here to work and then I'll pay you more as like you produce more. And it's, you know, but it takes a special kind of person as a leader to like move that needle and get people that are in that thought process to realize, wow, if I work hard, I'll be compensated. But that's also the biggest problem of the whole industry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, guys showing clock in, clock out. And then as the owner, you're just hoping like, hey, get that car fixed. Why are you asking me? Right. Don't ask me questions, you know, just get it fixed. And then before you know it, a year goes by and the technicians are burnt out and they don't want to do anymore. And it's like this, it's everywhere. It's like rampant. Yeah. And so technicians are just jumping ship. And everyone's like, there's a technician shortage. It's like, you know what I mean? Like,
I do. Yeah.
If you really dive into it, it's like, man, if you just like paid attention to people.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. Yep.
But it's so hard because in like your position, you're fighting your own leader in a sense, your own right. partner,
yep.
you know, and it's like the last thing you can really physically, mentally do is lead a group of technicians when you're frustrated because you don't even know how to have that conversation with them smoking outside. Like, how do I even like,
yeah.
how would you even manage, like go out there and confront that? Hey, you guys, right. you need to stop smoking. Hey, we're allowed our 10 minute breaks, boss. Right. It's like,
yeah.
And he owns it too. He's like, oh my God.
So what do you do? I can't tell him to stop when he owns half the company. He does what he wants whenever, you know? And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it comes down to like clearly defined roles when it comes to like partnerships. But as we all start, I mean,
yeah,
you and I are both young. If we get into a partnership, we're just like, hey, shake my hand and let's get this thing going. Yeah. Right.
Right.
That sounds good to me. Let's get, and he's like, the last thing on your mind is like contracts and like division of property. And like, you're just like, let's just get this thing rolling. And then we'll deal with that stuff later, which is like the biggest mistake. But
right.
it's like at the time, like, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. And that's how it started. We shook each other's hands. You're in charge of this. You're in charge of that. Let's get moving. Let's make a business and make money fixing cars. You know, that's how it started to begin with. And, you know, 10 years into it, we started making contracts and life insurance contracts and buy sell agreements and things like that. But we would start it. And then when I'd bring it up again, it would fizzle away for the next day. And we just would never move forward to paying an attorney, getting the life insurance policy in place, making sure we're paying the premium each month. And he never really wanted to make that next step to pay what you have to pay each month to get that life insurance activated or the buy sell agreement activated on one another. And we just never move forward. And here we are trying to dissolve everything. And we have lots of problems right now, you know,
I can only imagine.
So if you do go into a partnership or if anybody goes into a partnership, you have to have contracts, black and white, who gets what, are you doing? You know, like you said, ownership roles, you know, clearly defined roles in the workplace. You know, you have to.
It's like a prenuptial agreement, right? Like, but like you do it every time with a partnership. You don't have to do it every time with a marriage. No. In fact, I don't think it's a good idea to ask for that on your wedding day.
No.
It's a really bad idea to ask for.
No, I had a friend tell me before I got married, you should probably get a prenup. Well, we're not friends anymore, so. So
I'm not bringing that up. No, I'm not going to say that.
No.
All it takes, like, hey, so we were thinking about, me and my buddy were talking about a prenup. What do you think about that, sweetheart?
Well,
let me know how that goes for you.
Yeah. Let's stop now. And let's not get married, you know? So, nope.
But it's still important with a partnership. I mean,
that's different, way different.
Well, people change over the years too, you know? Mm-hmm. And now you're in the kind of the worst part of it is like, and part of it's probably like, you just like, you know what? Just like in a bad marriage, just have it all. Just keep it all, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But it's everything you've worked for the last, I mean, a huge portion of your life now. Like, that's half of your life at this point, the time that you've worked for. So,
what
a difficult situation to be thrown in.
It is. But it's part of life that I got to go through right now, you know?
Yeah.
So it sucks, but.
Well, it's invaluable lessons. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything I've learned is by the mistakes I've made.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people go into business trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to cars. Like, everyone wants to fix every car
right.
perfectly. Yeah. Every time. Everyone wants these systems that are perfect every time. how you don't even know what that is until you make the mistake, you know,
100%. Yep.
And some of the best guys that give you the best advice that run these, you know, coaching companies or that are great educators, it's because of all the mistakes they made.
Right.
I mean,
over the
in
years,
my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be like, how else do you learn this stuff besides like making a mistake and then like, don't do that again.
Right. Yep.
Next time I get a partnership, and it's like, you don't even have to question it. Like if some attorney was like, hey, it's going to be $5,000 to set all this stuff up. And you're like, done. No problem. Right. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to own a partnership, but if you've never done it before, you're the first thought in your mind is like, $5,000 for what? Do I really need all these contracts?
Right. Yes, you do. I believe it now. So
what, as far as your, is there a specialty that you're into or what are you moving into now?
What I'm moving into, I'm moving in towards, you know, fixing up a lot more Hondas, Acuras, Toyotas, and Lexus, you know, your Japanese cars. Those are just the cars that I like to service. I've been around them forever and a day. I grew up with Hondas and Toyotas. That's just all I drive with the reliabilities of them, you know? So yeah, I specialize in them, but also I'm not going to lose all of my customer relationships that I've built over the last 15 years that are going to follow me over here, where I'm in the same city. So I will continue to service most American cars, foreign cars, no Europeans, no diesels, you know, Chevys, Dodge, Chryslers, all those products. I'll continue to service them because I learned over the years, over 15 years, I've learned a lot about them and they're pretty easy to work on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and on the notation of clients.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gotta be a touchy subject right now. And you can't tell clients where to go.
Right.
So you guys are dividing, right? And it's like, these are my clients, these are yours. But people like, it doesn't work that way. Right.
Mm.
And I went through it too. When I bought my shop, it was like some people I didn't want coming back.
Right. Right.
But they wanted the deal from the old owner.
Right.
And they thought, and I mean, still to this day, 5 years later, coming, hey, so I knew him. And so you're going to give me a good deal. Like, what? It's been so long. What are you talking about?
Right. Correct.
So some of those you want to get rid of, but some of them are part of, and this, is he moving forward with another shop? Is he?
Yeah, it's
getting
very
rid of everything.
It's very touchy. You know, the tools and the assets of the company, the tools wise, that we somewhat divided, you know, I took some, he took some, and kept some there. I saw the tire machines I still need to go back and pull out and get. But as far as the dissolvement of the business name, you know, legally through the tax records and registration, it's under East Coast Performance LLC, Limited Liability Company. But to the city, we did business as ECP Auto Repair and Service. So that name alone and those words were never registered through the tax records, but he found out a way where he was able to go and register ECP Auto Repair and Service and just stay at that building and not take the signs down and just keep the signs up and just continue to run business, but under proper name of ECP Auto Repair and Service for the last 15 years. So he'll just keep the name. Didn't buy me out or anything like that. And then we have over, you know, 3,000 repair orders and customers in our database. Techmetric is a service that we use. And so that'll stay with it maybe, but I don't know how we would dissolve that or delete it or something because he didn't actually buy me out. He didn't purchase all of those customers from me for my half of the business. So I'm trying to figure out what to do with that portion yet as it's in my name.
Yeah, they call it goodwill, right? Like ownership goodwill as far as like, as long as you continue running the business like them, they anticipate the clients will stay. And so you can put a price on the goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that really being, I don't know, that's interesting to think because they're going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not going to follow you.
Right.
And how much of that did you see during that of like people came in specifically for you and wanted to stay away when he was and vice versa? They saw you up front. They're like, no, I want to talk to him. I mean, what was the division like?
It
doing
was
like day-to-day operations.
Day-to-day operations was, you know, 99% me. I was the face of the company. I was up front and did the work, check-in, did the work, diagnosing, check customers out, check the clients out, get all that handled. I did all of that. most people didn't even, you know, a few percent of the people did not even know that I had a partner, or did not even know who John was. Well, they thought the guy out back was just an employee of mine.
Wow.
So a lot of them will be following me right over here, just right down the street, you know?
Yeah. It'd be an easy transition. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously putting any sort of monetary value on any of that, it doesn't even seem worth it.
Right.
I mean, kind of strange. And how did you end up having to move out of that building?
How did I move out? Or,
well, like, how did that, so it sounds like he's staying in the prior location, and mm-hmm. Looks like you're in a new place.
Correct.
Was that like agreed upon, or you're just like, I got to get out?
No, it wasn't really agreed upon. We had a pretty good falling out the night before Thanksgiving, and a real good bad argument about it, about things of how the business is being ran. And I told him the first of the new year, I'm done. December 31st, I'm done. I think it's best that we split ways. I'm officially going to be leaving the shop. And I made all my plans from Thanksgiving time all the way up until now, where I made my 2-month plan of moving out. And
so it was just a better situation for you to just go find something to rent and just,
yep,
I guess in another way, be the bigger man and walk away.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Don't even want to try to fight over that.
Nope. It's too much stress on my heart and my body to just keep staying and deal with it each day in and day out. So I'm just going to leave.
Can't blame you there.
So, yep.
Sounds like the easier way to do it.
It is, but it's just hard now that I have attorneys involved trying to dissolve everything and fill out billions of papers to close the chapter of the business. You know, that's a lot of work while trying to open up a new business.
Open a new one. Yeah.
So I'm doing everything all together at one time, you know?
Yeah, so, that's always fun.
Trying to do it and be happy all at the same time.
Well, that's automotive repair in a nutshell. It's feast or famine, right? It's like you sit around, do nothing, and everybody shows up broken at the same time. I don't understand that at all.
Yep. I don't know.
Always all the same type of vehicles or the same damn type of repairs. And like, what is going on right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a sick joke the car gods put on us.
Yeah.
So a little on your background. I mean, sounds like you've been on automotive your whole life, right?
It sounds like it, but no.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Nope. So before automotive, you know, in high school, all my grades were terrible. They were like D's and F's, barely passed. I failed English class 3 different times in high school. I took construction and remodeling class in high school because I thought I wanted to do construction. I wanted to build houses, but I really took it because my buddies were taking it. And I wanted to hang out with them in class, this and that, goof off. But really, I was horrible at it. Ended up building houses for about a year or two after high school. Had numerous of jobs from the age of 18 to 22 in every industry, from food service to manufacturing, construction, oil change, lube tech, things like that. You know, I was definitely all over the board trying to figure out what I want to do in life. Where's my job? Where's my career? I didn't go to college. I did not go to trade school because I did not want to waste money on something I don't know what I'm going to do or what I even enjoy doing. You know, and that's when I got a job at a factory making vertical blinds, you know, in a manufacturing powder company. And that's when my partner now, he was my boss, but we became friends. And he saw that I like to work on my own car a little bit here and there. And we both decided, hey, let's open up a auto repair or a high performance repair shop called East Coast Performance. That was the name, where we would do Fast and Furious kind of cars, turbos, things like that, you know, but there's not a real good market for it. So we tried it for a few months and didn't work out too well. So then we turned it around to ECP, make the abbreviation short, auto repair and service. And let's just fix up Mrs. Jones's brakes that just came in because we're starving. We have no income and we need to do something. So let's fix her brakes up for a couple $100 and go from there and realize, hey, we're pretty good at this. We can make some money and let's just go down this path, you know? And 15 mm-hmm. years later, we made it a success. And I was single at the time, living in an apartment down the street, and got kicked out and moved for non-payment and moved into the repair shop, lived into a little tiny office, 200 square foot office, maybe. And lived there for 8 months, working 100 hours a week with no paycheck at all and trying to learn about cars and learn about business and how to fix up brakes and alternators and things like that and learn about it. And here I am now, married, 4 kids, and own a house, you know? So, I mean,
opening a shop on your own.
Absolutely. So I do not regret my path of route of life, but it was very hard and struggles all the time. But also there's a lot of good, happy times as well, you know?
Yeah. It's like, if you like what you're doing, I mean, that's the main thing, and bouncing around. And I feel like that's pretty relatable. I mean, I did drywall for a long time through high school too, and tried the construction thing and tried this and that and the other thing. And it always kind of like pulls you back. And I feel like there's a lot of that reflection when you look back 10 years and you're like, did I make the right choice?
Right.
Like, right. Am I supposed to be an auto technician? But then you realize how much ADHD you have or ADD you have. And you're like, yeah, this is definitely where I'm supposed to be.
Yes. 100. Yes. Yes. My wife tells me I have ADHD badly. And I had that all throughout high school, you know? So,
yeah. I feel like that's like a common trend, you know, even if it's just like a touch of it, you know, it's like the different colors, you know, there's definitely different strokes of it.
Yeah.
Maybe not as severe as others, but it's like, it's one of those things where you got to be doing something different every day.
Yep.
Well, and by different, I mean, you need to have a different problem every day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, my wife even told me, you know, she went to the basement to do one thing and then she got sidetracked with something else and then five other things. And I'm like, ha, so you have ADD or ADHD as well. And we all have it. We are humans. That's just how we all are. You know,
some of us are a little worse, and then we end up working on cars for some reason.
I'll bring her in. She helps me bleed out some brakes the other day at the house, you know. So, oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, get her, bring her in. I mean, that's the only way to do it. My wife runs the office, and she started as an anthropology major and went to college and all that, and somehow took a hard left and ended up running the office of an automotive shop.
Yikes. Well, I hope that was a good decision.
She deals with people every day, so it's kind of the same thing. She was just looking at more like the, you know, people that weren't standing upright anymore, but it's like, it's kind of the same.
Yep.
We did a lot of, you know, the psychology part of it. And
sure.
It takes a lot of education to run a shop. Mm-hmm. I think that's another stigma in the industry. It's like, you're just a big stupid grease monkey and you just, you know, do the repair and you get, I don't know, give me like $500 and call it a day. Right. And it's like, that's it. Right. And it's like, it's just like this weird vision, but it's so much, and you have to watch your numbers so closely to make a profit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't charge people $300 an hour and then just let it all come out in the wash. It's not a high end service that we're providing, but it's very profitable if you actually monitor all your percentages. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that if you're not educating yourself?
Right.
You know, and one of the things I always saw when I first started was he would take a part, right? And this is the guy I bought the shop from. He'd take a part and then just throw a random number on top of that. Hmm. Right. So, you know, get whatever. Call an alternator, $60. He paid for the alternator and he'd be going through the estimate like, throw $12 on that. And then we got, you know, 4 spark plugs and put $1.50 on each one of those spark plugs. And it was just like this, every estimate was written like that.
Hmm. Interesting.
And, like, and this is, I don't know, almost 20 years ago now. Wow. I mean, it was a long time ago. So it was like, times are different, but still percentages have been around since the dawn of time.
Yep.
You know, but it's just interesting. Like, and a lot of people, I think, are still kind of running their shop that way. They're still doing handwritten invoices. They're not using anything electronic and they're flying under the radar and they don't want to pay taxes. And it's like, I get it. Mm-hmm. Right. When you get the cash in your pocket, it feels good, but it's worthless.
Yeah.
You can't, what are you going to do with $100,000 cash?
Right. Right.
You can get smart about it, but it's like, you got to hide it. You got to manage it. It's a lot. It's actually a lot of paper. Like, it's kind of heavy. Like, what do you do with all that? You know, like, you can't store in a safety deposit box. It's like, you can't just go deposit in a bank. Like, so what do you do with all this cash? Mm-hmm. You know? And I don't know. It's just, you get to a point where it's like, it's a good thing to pay taxes because it means you're making money.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. It's but to have these handwritten invoices and just throw these random numbers on top, and then at the end of the year, you're doing 700,000-800,000 gross, but you've only got $10,000 in the bank, mm-hmm. and you're like, how come I didn't make any money?
Right, right.
It's like, really, you're not paying attention. That's why.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't mind paying end of the year taxes. You know, I want to make sure I'm making money and making sure I'm making a living. You know.
Yeah, and divide it up into quarterlies, even. Or,
oh, yeah. I mean,
and it's just like every year you just learn one more thing to kind of like ease that tension and ease that and realize like, okay, this is probably the right way to go.
Right.
You know, you start grossing over $1 million a year. It's like, it's a good idea to like know where all that money's going.
Right. Absolutely. 100%. You get up to
$2-3 million a year. And it's like that 10% net is a pretty big number at $3 million a year. It's like, okay, we're doing all right. You know?
Yep. Absolutely.
It blows me away. Like just still here in this day and age, like there's people that aren't internet savvy. They don't want to be on the internet. They don't want to Google stuff. They don't want to, you know, you got ChatGPT, right? And it's like, I'm not using that. Right. Like, I don't know on your stand on it, but it's like, this is the new standard.
Right.
It's like the bar was just lifted up. This isn't some secret. Like everybody's doing it. So if you don't do it, you're behind.
Yep. Absolutely.
Like having a website.
Yeah.
I don't know how these shops are running, not having any sort of marketing or I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
You're either lying or you're not charging enough.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or both. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That could be both. There's always could be both.
Absolutely. You know, I'm real big in Google and Google AdWords and Facebook and putting up videos, pictures, things like that, you know, and getting into your local community groups, you know, that's all good advertisement right there, you know?
Right. And you're not a month out of work. Right. Like
you're
still looking for work.
Yeah.
You're doing all these things and I mean you're busy. You're making a paycheck. You're making a living. You're paying rent. But it's like you're not 4 weeks out, 5 weeks right. out.
Mm-mm.
And I feel like that's like a common trend. It's like so I just don't get some of these other shops that absolutely refuse to do any of that, but yet their schedule's still 2-3 weeks out.
Right. Usually people that are scheduled that far out, they charge too little, apparently. That's what I've heard over the years.
It's got to be.
They're not charging enough. I'm not too sure that how that works, but yeah.
Or the thought process of like, if you're marking up parts, you're ripping your client off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
No, because doesn't your superstore do that? Doesn't Walmart do that? Or your grocery stores? They all buy it really cheap or get huge discounts and then they put it up to where they need to be to where they're able to make a living and make a profit and be able to keep the doors open. Right.
Right.
I mean,
and you're kind of in a day one sense right now,
sure.
Not necessarily technically, but for your own shop, and you know, this is a very important thing. And I think a lot of maybe shop owners start into it and it's like, well, I'm brand new, so I got to lower my prices to make sure I'm competitive with the market.
Right. No.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lost leader.
Oh yeah.
Like you're just wasting your time to make no profit.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I'm going to continue to charge exactly what I've been doing down the street. And right now, my first week right now, I'm booked up with 13 appointments already, you know, from me talking to different people and that sort of thing, you know? So I'm going to continue to charge the same. I'm not dropping my prices or anything because people know what I pay for my shop equipment. You know?
Yeah.
So,
well, and it's like, in a sense, you need more than you were making before now, right? Because it's like, you have all these new things. And I mean, you have a lot of other back fees to pay for. And I mean, you got a lot going on. You got a lot on your plate. And it's like, to lower your fees to be competitive is like the last thing that should be happening.
Correct.
You know, because you need more profit. But it's a scary thing when you're feeling slow in your first year, 2 years, 3 years in,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you want to hit that panic button. And how many times have you been in that situation where it's like getting a little slow and you want to hit that panic button, right? Like send out the oil discounts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The last thing you want is a bunch of discount oil changes. What you want to,
yeah.
You want to be broke and busy?
Yeah, no, thanks. I'm okay. I mean, over at the other shop, I was never slow. I was never slow. Maybe the first couple of years, we had some slow points and slow periods. But I mean, for the last 10 years, I was always jamming, always busy doing anywhere between 15 to 20 cars a week, which is perfect. And there was always things to be doing every single day.
Now, your vision moving forward, mm-hmm. you're getting a little older now.
Yes.
I didn't say old.
That's good.
I'm in your age bracket, so we're not old. We're getting old.
A lot of gray hair. Yeah.
I've been blessed, but I don't have kids either, so maybe that has a lot to do with it.
My God. Well, there are four kids in the ring. Holy cannoli.
I can only imagine. That's how you get the gray hairs on. That's the secret to the gray hairs.
It is, yes. Yep.
So your vision moving forward now, you got the shop. How do you see this unfolding in the next, say, 5 years?
Within the next 5 years, I'm going to continue to be operating right here, same location, right here on this facility. This landlord, he has a plot of land right next door. He's working on building some storage units on the back half of this plot of land that's completely undeveloped. It's a couple of acres. It's like 2 or 3 acres, I want to say. In about 5 years, I'm going to continue to talk to him, to let me buy the front half or divide the parcel up and purchase the front half land from him, and then get a good loan to be able to do that. And then 5 years after that, or even at the same time, just depends on how the loan is structured, I would like to build a really good, really nice about a five bay shop, state-of-the-art facility. Right there on the front half, looking at the main street called State Road. That's where I see myself within the next 5 to 10 years, 12 years, planning right now. Have my kids come in, work with me if they choose to, they're very hands-on. Have full staff, have technicians, employees, things like that to help me move forward in that aspect. I'm not going anywhere in my city. That's what I'm working on and building right now with my accountant, with my banker, to set me up for success. And we're going to start building that now and make sure all my percentages are where they need to be able to see that vision unfold.
That's exciting. How do you look at the business side of it? Are you still looking at being out in the bays? How are you disconnecting yourself from the kind of the day to day? Do you have any intent to do that? Are you happy with being a lead producer, or are you trying to step away and stick more as the ownership position?
Not right now. No, I don't see that happening. Not now, probably not ever. Just because I truly enjoy fixing the cars. I truly being out there in the shop all day long with the guys. I do plan on retiring one day. Yeah. And then taking, 4 or 5 weeks vacation a year when I'm in my 60s. Sure. But I don't see that happening for a very, very long time.
So your vision with the shop is still you running the front, running the back?
Oh, no. No, that would be that would be long-term. Yeah, I'll plan on hiring somebody for like your front service counter person to be able to check customers and things like that. It's hard to get away from that. We tried that a while ago, 3 different times at the other place. But yeah, I'll probably distance myself from there.
So you want to go to the tech side and have someone take you out front instead of hiring a technician, you going up front? Because I mean, there's always the different ways to look at it. Like right. You can either divorce yourself from the office or you can divorce yourself from the shop. Just depends on what you like, And it's just interesting to get other, everyone's kind of take on that. I mean, I enjoy talking, so I don't mind being up front. And it's like, so I kind of moved away from the shop first, as far as like being a technician, but
right.
I like to get back there too and get my hands dirty. So I think it's nice when it's yours because you can do everything, even though everyone tells you to stay the hell out of it. Dude, you're slowing me down. Get out of my way, please. Like, sorry, I just wanted to get back here and do something.
Right. Absolutely. That's something I'm going to have to think about over the years. I don't know 100%. Yeah. No answer, because I really enjoy it all. I love talking to customers. I love numbers, and I love the satisfaction of you see something broken, you buy the new part, you fix it, it's working great. I'm very happy and satisfied. Customer's happy. I just love the full circle of everything from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. I don't know quite yet. I can't answer that, honestly.
That's fair. And I had a pretty good conversation the other night about that, and you're going to provide a fantastic service. Mm-hmm. You as the owner, you as the service advisor, you as the technician, right? Mm-hmm. You are providing this level of service that no one else can compete with.
Right.
Like, you're already in the top 1%, and now you're controlling the whole aspects of the business. But it gets to a point where you can't do all that, right?
Yeah.
You get so busy where you just have to either dial back and be comfortable with that kind of ceiling you're at,
yeah,
because there's only so much you can do.
Correct.
Or you have to sacrifice some level of your service, some level of your, I guess, integrity in a way, to be able to take that next shift forward, mm-hmm, right? And that's a big one. And you have to be okay with that. And some guys aren't, like, and girls, women, they're not okay with that. Like, right. I want to run this. I want to do everything myself.
Yep.
And I'm okay with having this cap, having this ceiling.
Yeah.
The only way to get past that ceiling is to say, I gotta sacrifice something. I either gotta sacrifice the level of service in the office. I gotta sacrifice the level of service in the shop. It's a tough one to come to grips with. Right?
It is. Yeah, it truly is. And I want to be able to sacrifice that. And I want to exceed that cap. I don't want to just be stuck at one cap, you know? You know, for the last 2 years, you know, I'd travel all over the country visiting different shops. You know, I'd make my own personal shop tour blog on Facebook, call it what you will, to where I'd visit different companies and see how they operate, see how many employees they have, what their shop setup is looking like, because I knew this day right now is coming. And here it is. It's right now where I wanted to move out of the repair shop that I was at, split up the partnership, and here I am. And I was like, man, this is amazing. You know, I went to Ryan Blair's shop down there in Texas and Blair Automotive with his European repair facility. God bless him. I won't service those cars, but he has a fantastic operation, you know, and I look at myself, I'm like, man, this is great. This is exactly what I want. I don't want multiple shops, and that's okay for me. It's, if other people want it, that's great. I don't want multiple shops. I just want one fantastic state-of-the-art facility as me being the owner, singular owner with my wife and our family, where we have service advisors, we have great technicians, we have great parking, great clientele. That's what I desire over the next, you know, 10, 15, 30 years as I am continuing to work before I retire. That's what I desire. That's my vision. They always talk about keep the end in mind. Well, what does that end look like? How are you going to get there? What are you going to do each and every day to be able to get to your goal? And it's not a matter of, well, I can't wait to make $10 million this year. It's a huge lifelong journey. And that's what I'm on right now. And day one starts this upcoming Monday morning when I open up business, you know? So, yeah, day one of the next 30 years, you know? No kidding. No joke.
Day one of the rest of your life.
Yep.
It's like Men in Black when you put the suit on. It says, this is the last suit you'll ever wear.
Absolutely. Yep. So my kids love it. My wife is fully supportive and backs me up 100% of this. And so does the whole city and everybody, you know? So I'm very happy and excited.
Yeah, it's an exciting time.
Yep.
You know? And it's just making those small steps and.
Yep.
Man, it's
and it's hard to step back, you know. It's hard to stop answering the phone, because that's one of my pet peeves is when that phone rings, I will drop everything I'm doing to go answer that phone, you know, to take care of that customer who is going to need some kind of repair, who's going to need that help, whether knee repair, advice, or just have a flat tire. I don't care. I'll do my best to help you, you know.
Right. And what's your ARO?
Over there, it was like around, you know, 750, 800, somewhere in that ballpark, you know,
it's an $800 phone call,
right? Absolutely. You don't know
every time the phone rings, it's $800.
Sure. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. That's what, I mean, the laws of averages, that's just how it works. And yeah. I mean, And
you know, the other frustrating part is, you know, the phone would be ringing and I'd be knee deep in work and he's outside smoking, not answering the phone. And then I'm trying to rely on him, you know. Our business coach, you know, 6-7 years ago told us about this phone company called UMA Phone Services. Have you heard of them? UMA? It's kind of like Ring Central. They're internet-based, cloud-based internet phone service.
Yeah, we use inbound.
Inbound. So
it's probably the same thing.
Or it's like VoIP, you know, voice over IP, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a VoIP system.
And so I signed up with UMA 2 months ago, got my phone number and everything, into where now, before, our phones would ring. If we miss a phone call, you have no idea who it was. You can't call them back. You don't have caller ID or anything. It's just through AT&T, a landline. Now it rings to my landline. If I miss it, it goes to my cell phone as well at the same time, to where if I miss that phone call, that's okay. I will call them back. If I miss it, I'll call them back. I know who it is and I can provide some kind of service to whoever may be calling. It's just really, really great, you know, and I brought that up to him 7 years ago and never wanted to make that switch. Well, as soon as I started my company, I hopped on board and I called him right away.
Yeah. I mean, I think I waited too long to do that because, yeah, we have the same style and you get the transcribed right. messages to your email. So if you miss the call, it goes to your email. You get an email alert with the transcribed yes. message. Not to mention the spam blockers. So you get no spam blockers. You can set it up so it's like they can dial one if they're new, if they're two, if they're existing. So your service advisors know, oh, this is a new client or, oh, this is going to be, you know, someone that's already in the shop. And it's like, what a huge shift of like, having just the phone ring. I hate when the phone, well, I like when the phone rings, but I hate the sound of a ringing phone.
Oh, okay.
I just, oh my God, all day long to hear that over and over and over. Yeah. So now it's just like this nice little chime. It's just a chime. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay. I can deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But like you see their hair ringing all day. It's like saying somebody answer the phone, you know, and it's, but to have a VOIPs like that is like, what a game changer.
It truly is. It truly is. I love it so much. You know, I really do.
Yeah, and then I was able to hook my my mic up to the, because you can use Uconnect through the inbound. So Uconnect uses the web, so you can click on numbers on your web pages, and it'll call right. through your computer. And I have my mic and my headphones set up, so I can sound like this as I'm talking to, to clients, right?
Oh, that's so cool. You kind of love technology. That's so awesome.
And, oh, yeah. If it works.
Right.
When
right.
it works.
When it works. There you go.
Sometimes it's like it's a little too much.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Everyone gets a little frustrated when it's like none of this is working, especially when everything is cloud based and then the internet goes down.
Oh yeah,
it's like okay, old man, you win today. You win. You're right. Your handwritten freaking invoices win today because the internet's down. That's like the biggest thing. Is like you try to get someone that's a little older into it, and they're like, "Why would I do that? What if the internet goes down?"
Right. That one like time.
Once every 6 months, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Nope.
Look at how much we're gaining while it's working, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%.
Taking that next step. I mean, it's exciting and to hear you're now able to do whatever you want to do and the things that you need to do to elevate your business. Because a lot of that stuff is kind of holding you back. And when you're trying to explain this stuff that you're already on board with, it's just so much wasted time. Like, dude, this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Our SMS system needs to be a 2024 point of POS system. We need to have, there's just so many things that every year as vehicles evolve. And that's the one thing I've never understood with auto repair. Like, these cars are evolving so fast, but these business management styles and systems are older, you know, like all that stuff in the shop needs to be upgraded as the cars come in, right? It's like you're working on these cars that are so advanced, but yet you're in this 1980s point of sale system, right? Or you're using an AT&T landline or whatever. And it's like, dude, there's so much new technology. Mm-hmm. That's where the bar is at now. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're not just getting a step ahead, you're just keeping up with the Joneses.
Absolutely.
Well, for the one percenters anyway. And it's like, I just like $1 million a year gross is just the bar now, you know, like that's just like the entry level. It's not that much anymore. Mm. Like really? Like, and I didn't catch what state are you in?
Ohio.
Ohio. Okay.
Yep.
Your cost of living's obviously gone up like everybody
else.
Oh,
yeah. Tremendous.
Not as bad as here in California, but...
No. Like, which is good.
$700,000 house is a two-bedroom starter home that's 800 square feet. It's like, what?
Yeah. No.
You're going to make $150,000 a year to qualify for that. Yeah. Like, it's just crazy times. And it's like, unless you keep up with all this stuff, you just get so far behind so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like if you only wanted to work on, you know, the older cars, say you only had like 2000, 2005 cars coming in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a 2023 Ram coming in.
Mm-hmm. You'd be so lost. It'd be over your head.
My scan tool doesn't hook up. Why not?
Right.
You have auto off?
Yeah.
What's an auto off? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep. It's technology is evolving every single day and it's making our job harder, you know?
Yeah. Or more interesting.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. But
I mean, we all do this cause we like hard challenges, I guess. I don't know. Right. I understand what our problem is, but
I don't know.
Again, I think it's ADD coming.
That is true. Yeah.
Ooh, this looks like a really hard challenge. I'm in. I don't think most people think like that.
Right. No.
most people go the other direction. Like, that's really hard, I'm not going to do it. It's like, no, that's really hard, I want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
What's wrong with us? Well, cool, man.
Yeah.
A lot of good information. Great story, man. It's like, it's not nice to hear, but we're all kind of in this kind of same thing together. It's probably different problems we deal with. And it's just, you either have it or you don't. And it's like, a lot of guys probably on the fence right now in the industry, because it just seems like everything's getting thrown at them, curveballs left and right. And they just feel like, this isn't for me.
Right.
But you're just a prime example of like, just keep doing it.
Yep.
Yep. Eventually it works out.
Oh, absolutely. Let it beat you up, you know? I mean, I got beaten up several times mentally and physically on the cars. And there's been plenty of times where I just wanted to just give up, throw it in towel, and just pack up my tools, head home, and get a job doing something else, you know, but stuck with it. You know, it's my story. It's my journey. And you just got to stick with it, you know?
That's right. I like it. Cool. So, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I
appreciate your time, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad to be here and give you my time. Absolutely. Anything I could do to help inspire other people and hear my story. And if I could be of help of anybody, I'd love to, you know?
And then you mentioned your videos. I want to just real quick recap on that.
Yep.
So you did some shop tours. Is there something somewhere can go check that out? And
yeah, it's
I think that's the most invaluable stuff you could ever think of. Like looking at other people's operations is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. That's on my personal Facebook page. You go there, you look at my pictures, and then it's in one of the albums, you know, and it's just, you know, I see Carm doing that, but it's through virtual, you know, and that's great. And I was able to do it, but I wanted to try to take it an extra step further and spend my own money, spend my own time, and just travel around the country to different really cool looking shops that I wanted to become and get to know the owner, get to know the shop atmosphere, take pictures. But when you physically go and look at the shop, you have a different aspect and a whole new appreciation as to the industry, what they did, how they got there, hear their story in person, shake hands with them, network. It's totally different. And I really enjoyed doing it. And I still am when I have the time, you know?
Yeah, you're going to probably not have much time here soon. But
right, no. But it's something that I'm glad
I'll come back around.
Oh, absolutely.
You're the owner. You can leave whenever you want.
That is true. Yes. I get infinite amount of time. I can do whatever I want.
Sure.
Yes.
Right on.